for argument is 20-1419, Worgen America v. Caterpillar. Mr. Ogden, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Seth Ogden on behalf of Worgen America. May it please the Court. The claims of the 395 patent require switchover without any erratic alteration. And that is accomplished by switching over from control to control. In other words, the claims require continuous control throughout the switching process. They also require that the second selected subset be functional to avoid any erratic alteration. These are critical differences between Brabeck's concrete screed, which Caterpillar relies upon to teach a switching system, and the road milling machines of the claims and of Davis that make Brabeck's teachings inapplicable to establish obviousness. The combination of Davis and Brabeck only detects a signal loss, in other words, a loss of control, and then attempts to reinstate control by switching to a new sensor. This results in an erratic alteration. It is undisputed.
This is Judge Prost. If I could just interrupt you with a question in light of the limited time we have. I guess reading the brief, I must tell you, I was a little confused because you present this case is an application of claim construction, not about claim construction itself, and seems like you probably got to do that because you didn't request particular claim constructions. But it seems to me that what you're advocating here about choosing centers and application-related reasons aren't the plain meaning of the claims. So they're read in from discussion about the specification and some expert testimony. So if I'm right about that, shouldn't you have requested this claim construction if those how you're construing the claims here on appeal doesn't necessarily correspond to the plain meaning of the claims?
Well, Your Honor, I would disagree. Yes, claim construction would need to be requested, and I believe that claim construction was requested because the board issued in its final written decision for the first time a claim construction with respect to the second selected selected subset, as opposed to it did issue a claim construction in its institution decision for during the milling operation. So there was a claim construction given, and I think the argument that we're making is after seeing what that claim construction was and how it was applied for the first time in the final written decision, that claim construction needs a claim construction.
Here's my problem with that is that, you know, you say it's really kind of a question of grammar. The real question is what does during milling relate to? I mean, does during milling say that's when the sets are chosen, or does it say that's when the chosen signals make a difference?
I agree that there is a grammar question, and that is why a skilled artisan would have looked to the remainder of the claim. And what they would have seen is the without any erratic alteration of the at least one adjustment value. And they would understand that in a situation such as Brabeck, where you are selecting based on a predetermined priority that occurs before, in Brabeck's case, screening has begun, that's going to allow for a situation where you will have an erratic alteration. And another thing that a skilled artisan would have understood is looking to column 2, it explains that the switchover device enables a pre-selection of the other sensor and the presetting of operating parameters, set values and actual values of the other pre-selected sensor. And then it goes on to say, and this is column 2 at line 19, in this way, a machine operator can already prepare the switchover of the sensors during the milling operation. And so it explains, and a skilled artisan would have recognized that teaching, as well as looking to all of the embodiments that are disclosed, which all involve a device that permits indication and setting devices that permit selection of the second selected subset during the milling operation.
So you want us to say that, that even if the claim language doesn't expressly require that that the selections occur during the milling operation, that we should take all the embodiments and say because there's no embodiments in the patent that that's what should, we should assume is happening?
No, Your Honor. What we want to be examined is that the board did not give any scope to the without any erratic alteration of the at least one adjustment value because they chose to ignore that in Braback, this selection based on a predetermined priority cannot meet the without any erratic alteration of the at least one adjustment value. And that a skilled artisan reading the entire...
This is Judge Prost. What is an erratic alteration of the adjustment value? Your briefing and the specification don't make it very clear what this even is, and yet you've argued that as a matter of law, erratic alteration happens during the sensor switchover in this prior art combination. And I don't understand what that means.
Yes, Your Honor. So there are two portions of the specification that, when read together, explain what an erratic alteration is. So in column one, looking to the background, at line about 44, it explains that faults in the work result could occur because no control is affected during that time. And then if you move over to column two, and it's in the paragraph that starts at line 58, it explains that that if the alteration of the adjustment value is not affected in an erratic fashion, then the evenness of the milled road surface is not adversely affected. So an erratic alteration is an alteration that occurs in the controller that results in an uneven milled road surface, or also described as a fault in the work result.
Where did you argue this before the board?
Okay, so this was discussed before the board. In Appendix 389, there's a section discussing why Caterpillar has failed to meet their burden to show that the elements of Claim 1 and 11 are found in the prior art. And there, through italics, Workin emphasized the importance of control, switching from control to control, and the importance of the selected subsets. And that goes part and parcel with the requirement that there be no erratic alteration. At Appendix 364, Braback is discussed.
But you say it goes part and parcel. Did you expressly say that?
Your Honor, I think we described several situations. I'm not sure that the words I just used were expressly written into the briefing, but we described several situations in which erratic alteration results because the selection is a predetermined priority in Braback. And we explained that wouldn't meet the selected subset limitation because it will cause an erratic alteration. And so with respect to that, you can take a look at Appendix 386, where we explained, Workin explained, it would be undesirable to automatically switch the sensors because it would risk adversely affecting the work product. Rather, the operator would want to stop the milling operation because there are too many conditions where specific sensors are relied upon for proper road milling. And Caterpillar's expert actually acknowledged, that's Appendix 3226.
And the board rejected that, made a factual finding that is not.
Judge Plager?
Hello. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Am I back on?
Yes. And you can be heard by everyone. Chief Judge Prost, okay. Can you hear Judge Plager?
Yes, I can.
And Mr. Ogden, can you hear Judge Plager?
Yes, I can.
Judge Plager, can you hear everybody?
I can hear everybody, and I thank AT&T for getting itself straightened out.
Judge O'Malley, I think you had the floor.
I need to restart the audio recording, and then we can proceed after the message.
Thanks.
It's complete.
Judge O'Malley.
Okay. Now we're going back, I asked where you had made the argument below to the board about this, your erratic alteration of the at least one adjustment value, and why that would make combining Brabeck and Davis inappropriate. And I don't see the erratic adjustment discussion, and you conceded that you didn't use those exact words. But so I don't see it in any of the pages that you're citing me to.
So, Your Honor, what we discussed was that with respect to the second selected subset, and so that's getting back to the claim construction argument. So first, let me back up. I think before we were cut off, you had said that the board rejected that argument.
Yeah.
So the board rejected the factual argument with respect to Workin's motivation to combine.
Right.
The board found that there would be trade-offs and that replacing an unused sensor, replacing a failing sensor would be a trade-off that one might take. And there are issues with that I will address in a minute. But with respect to the second portion, they did reject the motivation to combine, but they never addressed the argument that selecting a second selected subset based on a predetermined priority would result in the potential to select a sensor that would not be functional to avoid an erratic alteration. And that was in throughout the arguments that were made with respect to the switching based on Brabeck. And so that goes to why we argue that this claim construction for second selected subset is incorrect, because in order to have a claim construction that would be, or an application of their claim construction that would be correct, it would have to be applied in a way that the second selected subset avoids any erratic alteration of the at least one adjustment value. And
but
so that's where.
But I didn't understand you to be challenging claim construction on appeal, Mr. Ogden.
We're challenging the application of the claim construction first issued by the board in its final written decision. And what we're saying is, but in the way that they applied the construction, they didn't give it a proper scope as it should be given under a skilled artisan's view of the claim language.
Counsel, can I ask a question? Where in the board's 78-page opinion should we find a discussion of this very point?
Of the erratic alteration point, Your Honor?
Yes. Assuming you raised it in some intelligible way, it's not discussed in the board's 78 pages?
Your Honor, it is discussed, and so... First, if we take a look at Appendix 14, there the board recognizes the emphasis on the importance of the erratic alteration. And what we see there is that they note that Claim 1 also emphasizes that the sensor swap occurs.
Which
is that my tone, Your Honor?
I've got Appendix 14. Where on Appendix 14 are you reading from?
I'm quoting where it says at the very bottom, and did I hear my time, Your Honor? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, but you can answer Judge Blake's question.
Okay.
Cool.
Yes, Your Honor. So Claim 1 at the bottom there, Claim 1 also emphasizes that the sensor swap occurs not only without interruption of the milling operation, but also without any erratic alteration of the at least one adjustment value, which is a concern when swapping sensors during the act of milling. And then when we return to Appendix 23, the only thing the board ever discusses is that petitioner contends that Brabeck discloses an automatic switchover to sensor 42 without interrupting the machine operation or any erratic interruption or abrupt change in the adjustment value. And that's the entirety of what the board ends up saying about the erratic interruption. So they understood that there was an argument over this erratic interruption. It was also discussed at the oral argument at Appendix 740. So they addressed it, but they just glossed over it after recognizing the importance of that claim limitation.
Well, because you put the whole discussion of erratic alteration as going hand in hand with whether it occurs during the switchover occurs during the milling operation or not. I mean, that's the only way you argued it.
Your Honor, no, we argued that the second selected subset must be selected during the milling operation. That a skilled artisan would understand, yes.
And that's what the board rejected, right?
The board rejected that, but in rejecting that, they failed to recognize that Bravec's system would cause an erratic alteration and that a skilled artisan would understand that the scope of, based on the intrinsic evidence, that the scope of second selected subset requires that it be selected during the milling operation.
But,
otherwise,
but the board recognized that argument and said that the point is that choosing Bravec, you don't have to choose Bravec or be motivated to choose Bravec because it would solve some other problem that you're recognizing. But they said that there was a motivation to choose Bravec because of the ability to use the sensors, right? I mean,
Your motivation can come
from anywhere.
Yes, Your Honor, and at this point, we're not arguing the motivation to combine and their rejection of that. What we're arguing is that their final construction of second selected subset that only was given in their final written decision, the scope of that construction is not consistent with what a skilled artisan would have understood reading the claims in their entirety, including the without any erratic alteration language.
There's a lengthy discussion, counsel, in the appendix on pages 24 and 25 of the switchover issue, which is really the underlying problem in this erratic operation. Apparently, you had to stop the milling in the old system, and you're claiming that your system now works better because it's automatic. That is, you don't, the sensors shift themselves. You don't have to stop and shift them. And that is a lengthy discussion in that part of the opinion in which they find that the prior art dealt with it in a way that makes your claim obvious. What is it you're saying? Are you saying something different from that discussion?
With respect to that discussion, what we're saying is that they're wrong as a matter of law, that a skilled artisan would have looked at this claim and thought that switching over, they're correct that the switchover occurs during the milling operation. They're wrong about when the selection has to occur to avoid any erratic alteration, and that a skilled artisan would have understood that selection must occur during the milling operation. And that's because Bravec is a stationary device. So Bravec is a different device, and the screed just moves around on a boom. So in Bravec, that solution works because the operator can look around before he starts screeding, and he can say, what might I run into that I need to avoid? I can set this priority. A milling machine is a 50,000-pound device, many times larger, that's traveling down the roadway with a 20,000-pound drum attached, and because it's propelling down the roadway, it's a different situation because you don't know what you're going to encounter that would require the switchover. And
so
your
argument is not that you didn't get heard and you didn't get considered. Your argument is simply you disagree with the way the board resolved the question. Is that correct?
We disagree with the scope of the board's claim construction in its final written decision. That was the first time that we received that claim construction. And we characterize that as its application because it's the scope of how it described it. A subset that it's chosen could be right if you gave it the correct scope. But they didn't.
They made the scope really too broad. Counsel, I just have one last question because I know your time is up, but I'm just very confused. Are you saying that the board should have considered Bravec's operation in deciding what the appropriate claim construction would be?
No, that, not at all, Your Honor. What I'm saying is that the board should have considered how a skilled artisan would have read this entire limitation. I think it's, I don't remember what they call it, 1G. It starts at about line 32 of column 7 and understood that a skilled artisan would have viewed the selection to avoid any erratic alteration as requiring a selection during milling. It is also supported by the specification, which a skilled artisan also would have looked to understand this. We are not saying that a skilled artisan would have necessarily looked to Braback to construe the claims in the 395 patent.
Okay, thank you. We'll restore a little of your rebuttal time, which has been entirely used, and let's hear from Mr. Goldberg. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I think that Your Honors have sort of gotten to the crux of it here. They didn't make these claim construction arguments to the board, and now what we have here is essentially just a substantial evidence case. Does substantial evidence support the board's findings on these obviousness issues? And it does in appendix pages 23, 24, 25, up into the 35 to 40 area. With respect to the selected subset issue that counsel is arguing about right now, Braback is what the board pointed to for the different selected subsets. It specifically identified the various sensors 20, 22, and alternate sensor 42.
Counsel,
and
can I ask you, is it true that initially, at the initiation stage, the board said that the selection has to occur during the milling operation, or did they simply say the switchover occurs during the milling operation?
They did not say that the selection has to occur during the milling operation anywhere in the record that I'm aware of.
So you dispute the fact that the counsel's claim that somehow the board changed its construction in its final written decision?
Yes. And I think you'll find, Your Honor, that a lot of times the statements that counsel has been making about what is on various pages of the record in different places don't always jive with what's actually on those pages when you look at them, as we saw earlier in the discussion of the where they supposedly made the argument about the erratic alterations, but it's not on those pages.
All right. When I asked your friend on the other side, I said that when I read this phrase, to switch over from, then it goes on, and then it says during the milling operation, I read that phrase to say that during the milling operation without interruption, modify switchover, not the selection process. And he said that no, it has to modify both because there is no other embodiment disclosed in the specification other than the selection occurring during the switchover process or during the milling operation. Do you agree with that?
No, Your Honor. In fact, our view is that there is actually no embodiment, no discussion anywhere in the specification of the 395 patent or in the claims of the 395 patent or in the prosecution history of the 395 patent that ever says that the selection would occur during the milling operation. If we look at the column 2 area that Rickens counsel was pointing to specifically, this is on appendix page 91 at line 19, they pointed to the sentence where it says, a machine operator can already prepare the switchover of the sensors during the milling operation so that the switchover of the sensors is possible at the push of a button.
Okay, what line are we on again?
We're starting at line 19, column 2,
okay.
Line 19. And the point is, they refer to this line about preparation, and they say that means that you have to select the sensors during operation. But if we look up toward the top of column 2, actually starting at the very last line of column 1, where it first introduces what this preparation is that's going on, it says, providing a further indication and setting unit offers the advantage that the new sensor, which is to be exchanged for the sensor currently in use, can be prepared for the time of switchover in terms of its actual and set values while the operation continues. So the only thing in the preparation that has to be occurring during the milling is just the setting of the actual and set values. And the specification in several places actually recognizes that the sensors don't have to all be selected during milling or any be selected during milling. For example, in column 2, at line 16, it refers to pre-selection of the other sensor. In column 5, it again refers to a pre-selected sensor B. In line 11, in line 15, in line 19. In column 6, at line 45, it actually says that all embodiments indicate that the set values and the actual values of the pre-selected sensor B. So they are actually quite often disclosing that it's just going to be a pre-selected sensor. It doesn't have to be selected during milling. And in fact, this shows up in the claims as well. In claim 5, this is at column 7 on appendix page 94, it talks about around line 64, 65, a human operator may manually pre-select the replacement sensor. So all over the place, the embodiments disclosed in the specification are actually disclosing exactly the opposite of what Vertkin's counsel argues. These sensors can be pre-selected. There is no requirement that they ever be selected during operation. And as far as the application-related reasons that counsel for Vertkin premises essentially everything on, they want to make this argument that the machine operators have to be able to see what's happening down the road and then look at it and then make the switch during milling. The board already rejected that argument and has substantial evidence supporting its position that the application-related reasons can actually be exactly what's happening in Braybeck, that you have a sensor where you lose communication, it's a failed sensor, it's something like that, and then you just automatically do the switchover. And with respect to the erratic alteration that counsel complains the board somehow did not address, well, the board did address that. At appendix page 23, in about halfway down the page, they say that petitioner contends that Braybeck discloses an automatic switchover to sensor 42 without interrupting the machine operation or any erratic interruption or abrupt change in the adjustment value because Braybeck uses the last known value of sensor 22 for alternate sensor 42 to keep the right side in the same position. And if we look to Braybeck and specifically at paragraph 36, we can see exactly this language. The whole point of Braybeck is that they want to be avoiding having uncontrolled operation. And in paragraph 36, this is on appendix page 981, it says, starting at the bottom of the left column, the last signal output by the alternate sensor 42 prior to the right sensor 22 becoming unavailable is used as a set point for the right channel of the controller 28. And then if you go a few more lines down, in other words, the alternate sensor 42 is used to keep the right side in the same position or attitude as it was in when the primary sensor 22 became blocked. So there's no uncontrolled operation here. There's no gap between control based on the original sensors and control based on the new sensors. That's the whole point of Braybeck. They want to be able to use it to keep the right side in the same position. And turning for a moment back to the board's decision at appendix page 23, it also cites for this our expert Dr. Beverly's testimony in Exhibit 1002. Within that paragraph, it goes through paragraphs 154 and 155, also paragraphs 149 to 164. These are the paragraphs where our expert actually explained exactly how you take this teaching from Braybeck, put it into Davis, and with colored illustrations articulated exactly how, there ends up being no erratic alteration anywhere.
Any further questions from the panel?
No.
No questions.
Anything further? Are you resting, Mr. Goldberg?
I will stop there, Your Honors. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ogden will restore 3 minutes of rebuttal that were used.
Thank you, Your Honors. I just want to make a couple points here. First, I want to clarify, we aren't arguing that the board changed its construction. It only issued a construction early on with respect to what during the milling operation that phrase itself meant. The first time it issued a construction about selected subset was in the written decision. Also, we're not relying on reading in the embodiments from the specification. We're only relying on those as demonstrating the lens through which a skilled artisan would have viewed the claim language. And the main thing I want to discuss here is, and Mr. Goldberg made a good point about this, I think he missed the point on this, is he's talking about switching sensors, but this patent is not about switching sensors. It's about switching control. And again, the problem here is that the switch of control is what is required from control to control, and that's the only way that you can avoid an erratic alteration. And so the board's construction of selected subset does not ensure that you're going to switch to control, because this moving vehicle, you will have a switch to a sensor that may or may not be functional. And in fact, you could have a catastrophic loss of control and deviation in the adjustment value if you switch to a sensor that's not going to work for that condition. And so I think that's the one of the issues of control. And then it's undisputed that there is a loss of control before the switchover occurs. And so there is no switchover from control to control. Caterpillar's expert admitted that the switchover only occurs after a sensor blackout or after a degradation of the signal. And so this combination can't meet the claims. And then, in addition, the scope of second selected subset, as it was construed by the board, is improper because it allows for without any erratic alteration. And a skilled artisan would have understood, based on that addition to that particular claim, that was there regarding the selection of the second selected subset. And let's see. In addition to that, we would just request that this be sent back down to the board so we can get a true construction on the true application of the proper scope of the second selected subset in view of the without any erratic alteration requirement, and considering that Braybeck's switch, and there's no dispute as to the fact that switching to a sensor that's not functional to control would result in any erratic alteration. But that aspect was not discussed in the board's decision. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. We thank both sides, and the case is submitted.